The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Against the white walls, TV enters in the back. You may not have a car at all. Brothers and sisters, you can still stand tall. Just be thankful for what you got. Though you may not drive a great big Cadillac, diamond in the back, sunroof top, digging the scene with a gangster lean. The white walls, TV antennas in the back. You may not have a car at all, but remember, brothers and sisters, you can still stand. Just be thankful for what you got. Though you may not drive a great big Cadillac, against the white walls, TV antennas in the back.
WIOX is supported by the following community underwriters. The Delaware County Chamber of Commerce, a catalyst for sustainable economic prosperity in the Catskills, fostering cooperation, forging partnerships, promoting tourism, providing legislative advocacy, and building strong community ties throughout the region. More information at 607-746-2281 or DelawareCounty.org. Sam's and Fleischmann's, Sam's Country Store Deli and Gas Station, open every day for groceries, Mexican herbs, local craft beer, and with food to go, sandwiches, tortas, and tacos, and on weekends, tamales. Sam's on Main Street in Fleischmann's, samscountrystoreny.com. Mountain Flame in Arkville, featuring a range of products for home heating solutions. A variety of fireplaces, wood stoves, and gas and pellet stoves are available and on display. For sales and service, Mountain Flame in Arkville, warming home since 1980. Details at mountainflame.com. Qualterry's Nursery and Garden Center on Route 30 in Roxbury, open 7 days a week from 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. Christmas trees, live and cut. Wreaths, roping, and large and small kissing balls, holiday centerpieces, and plants. Qualterry's Nursery and Garden Center. Smiles required. Early orders accepted. 607-326-4282. 607-326-4282.
Hi, this is Arnie Schwartz, host of Talk of the Town. Alternate Tuesday evenings from 6 to 7 on WIOX, Roxbury. Serving New York's Catskill region at 91.3 FM, WIOXradio.org, and MTC Cable, Channel 20.
You are listening to WIOX Community Radio, live and local in the Catskill Mountains at 91.3 FM and at NTC Cable Channel 20 and at 107.5 FM on the campus of SUNY Delhi on smart devices through the Radio FM app and everywhere at WIOXradio.org, where it's easy to donate. This is From the Forest every Wednesday, 6 to 7 p.m. Talk about a different forest-related topic with Ryan and John. John, how's it going?
Things are good, Ryan.
Are they?
They are.
You know, you always say that, John.
I'm just a happy guy.
Yeah. No, it's November. I don't know. Hunting season. Big game or gun season opens up Saturday.
Right. So that's exciting for most of us.
That's right.
I had something cool happen to me in the woods yesterday.
You're kidding.
A little unique. I was walking. I like to go for walks at lunchtime if I can get the chance. Walking up this ridge, up a log road. And I could hear it coming first. I just hear a buck running and grunting and grunting and grunting. And I look up, and here he is trotting at me down the road and grunting and grunting. And he's making eye contact with me, trotting down the road, and he's not stopping. I get a little nervous. And I just watch him waiting, assuming he's just going to notice me at any second and run away, as deer usually do. Well, finally, I paced it off when it was all said and done, but the deer got to 7 yards, so 20 feet, 21 feet. Finally, I got nervous enough that he wasn't stopping because he was moving right along. And I jumped out of the way, up the bank, two or three steps, and he changed his route slightly, but he just kept right on it going.
No kidding.
I thought I was going to get run over by this deer.
Can you imagine getting run over by a buck?
Especially a young spikehorn that's got these daggers on the top of his head that can do some damage.
Yeah, I mean, obviously that could kill you if the antlers, but just getting ran over by those guys, that would hurt.
Yeah.
Yeah. Getting hooved.
They are powerful creatures, man.
Well, 3 weeks ago, I had a similar experience. I was going up to, I was on my four-wheeler, actually, up at the property.
Yeah.
And I looked, you know, I parked the four-wheeler because I was going to get water, and I backed into the spot, and I'm getting off the four-wheeler, and I see this, but this guy, he was coming, he was running. I mean, he was coming right, and it looked like he wanted me, he wanted to hurt me. I wanted to take the four-wheeler out or something, and this was a little crotch horn. I've been kind of watching him all you know, summer when I'm working up there, and he was just going wild. I don't know why he was, you know, into that zone, but, you know, I revved the four-wheeler up because before I shut it off, and he just changed his direction a little bit. I didn't know if maybe he was in chasing a doe in heat. I have no idea what it was, but
you guys got to stop dousing yourselves in doe pheromone.
I know.
You know? You're taking it too far.
It wasn't even the season, you know. Anyhow, that
Buckman juice.
Jeez. Well, tonight's topic is American Hazelnut with Gary Mead. We have Gary on every third Wednesday to talk about a different Catskills tree from Gary Mead Gallery. So, Gary, how's it been going?
Very good. Yeah. Lots of making new stuff all the while with the gallery, and I just finished a kiln charge, and you know, things are good down there. That's, you know, I'm selling wood constantly. You know, I have 250,000 board feet of lumber down there. If anybody needs a board, come see me, because I have mantles and, you know, thick stuff, 4-quarter, 5-quarter, 6-quarter, 8-quarter, 10-quarter, live edge, you know, whatever. Pretty much whatever you might need. And all the different mountain species that grow in these mountains. You know, yeah. I have sycamore, elm, and all those unusual things, that black locust, you're just not going to find anywhere else. So, but anyway, things are going good. We're going to go hunting this weekend. I don't do bow hunting, but we do the rifle. I do the rifle season. I have two sons that bow hunt, but they haven't had much luck this year in their bow.
Your other son's in Stone Ridge area, right? Is he the bow hunter, or is it the one in Albany?
No, that Maxwell from Ellen. He teaches in Ellenville, and he lives in.
He's a bow hunter.
He's a bow hunter. Yep.
They're both down in the Ulster area. I've had the worst season I've ever had bow hunting. I finally got a small doe, but and I'm very thankful to get it, but because I've never had to put so much time into hunting to get a deer than this year.
Mitch hasn't got one yet, and he's, he filled both his doe and his buck with his bow last year.
Yeah.
In the first week or week and a half of it. And,
right.
And he said, I'm not, no pressure now. He said, just kind of hang out till rifle season, and, he got to spend more time with his, Mackenzie, his daughter, and he was happy about that. But he don't... this year he just can't seem to get one in close enough, and he teaches. He lives in Gardner, and he teaches in New Paltz. And he calls me, about 10 after 7 till about 25 after 7 every morning on a trip to school. Not every morning, but 80% of the mornings. And he'll be talking along. He goes, "Oh, my God, half a mile from my house," he said, "there's a huge 8-pointer out in the field chasing a doe."
Yeah. So
he said, "I feel like putting a sign in the field giving them directions to my house."
I know. Yeah, that's the way it goes sometimes. That's the way it is, right? Especially with bow hunting. Sometimes everything works out and it comes easy, and then other times it's just small things like I had a doe in two nights ago. And I swear they have a sixth sense, but this one may have winded me. Just had to take one more step. Yeah. One more step, and I'm drawn back.
Mm-hmm.
You know? And there's even a tree there in between me and her, so she's not going to see me. She knew something was up, turned around straight like they do. Straight back, and right back where she came from. I'm like, you got to be kidding me.
Yep.
That, you know? But it's a humbling thing, hunting.
Yes, it is. And, it's a lot harder than, the people that don't hunt think. They think, oh, you're out there murdering deer or whatever. But it's not about that. Just for me, I don't think I shot a buck in, it's been 4 or 5 years. My son's hunting. I just want venison. Whether I shoot it or they shoot it, it's all the same to me. But, between the four of us last year, we got six deer. And, if I don't get a deer this year, I'm good through this winter as well and next summer. But, I eat venison every day. Not a lot, but, I whatever. But it's a staple. It's my most... it's a staple, my red meat. And it just is, it's organic, and it's the best meat you can get. And the older I get, the harder it is to actually shoot them, so it's or kill them. It used to be exciting, and now it's like, after I kill them, I go over and I say a prayer, and I kneel down, and I do all that stuff. I started that maybe 10 years ago, but, it's, you have to thank the spirits for the food for the winter, especially, because, I don't, buy a lot of red meat from the store. Actually, I don't buy any red meat. I live off venison as long as I can, and that's... And the people who don't like venison, they've never had it prepared right. You really have to take your time and cut all the stuff that is distasteful out. Once people taste venison that has that... the deer fat's called yarrow or something, but... If you leave that in, it's like bones and fish, and it just turns you off. But anyway, but the taste of that is awful. But it takes me 2 hours to do a quarter, because when we first harvest them, we Well, if the weather's good, I'll let them hang for as long as I can. But then, you know, they get quartered, put in the freezer. And, you know, it takes me 2.5-3 hours just to cut one quarter up. And, you know, whatever pieces. And that's, but, you know, then the crows and the outdoor cats and all that get the scraps. Crows are amazing creatures because they, I can put something out because I have where I put all my table scraps and out, and I let the crows and the skunks have it, and whoever else wants it, neighborhood cats, whatever, and I don't throw anything in the garbage. It's biodegradable, and I get one bag of garbage a month in my house, but I live alone. You know, when I had a family, it was more, but anyway, I can put something out there, and 10 minutes later, there'll be 10, 12 crows, 6 in the tree and 6 on the ground picking through the stuff.
Yeah.
It's amazing.
They're smart.
They are, and I don't know how they find it so fast.
Yeah, they're very smart. They'll see it, too, from a long ways away.
Yep. Anyhow. And,
but tonight we're talking about the American hazelnut. And there is two types of hazelnut. There is an American hazelnut. There's a European hazelnut. And this tree or shrub used to be, it's not really well known, but most of the hazelnuts are grown out west. And the reason for that is most of those are European hazelnuts.
Right.
But they would catch a filbert disease. What is this called? I have it written down here. Eastern filbert blight. So a lot of people started growing them out in the Pacific Northwest or somewhere out there, so to be away from this blight. Also, the European hazelnut is not as cold hardy, so they grew them out there. Mm-hmm. But they ended up getting them anyway, the eastern filbert blight. So we'll be talking about tonight like how they've been hybridizing the two,
mm-hmm.
and creating a hazelnut that you can now plant here. That's both hardy and taste okay, because I guess the American doesn't taste nearly as good.
But. Yeah, well, it's like the American black walnut and the European walnut are two different beasts.
Yeah, and the European hazelnut, it's been bred for, some believe, thousands of years.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why it tastes better, is that humans have, just like the apple tree, have manipulated it and bred it and crossbred it for a long time.
Yeah.
Makes sense. I mean, what haven't we, you know, done that with when it's a food source?
Yeah.
Cows. You know, cows too, you know. Look
right.
at all. Look at dogs. How many times people have specific uses that people have bred dogs for.
Right.
Like a Welsh Yorkie, isn't it? Just meant to nip the ankles of livestock. I mean, it's got like a head of a German Shepherd, but poor little guy is standing not very tall.
Yeah, no, no,
I mean, that's crazy to think about, right? I mean,
Cocker, yeah. You know, Cocker Spaniels and Poodles, they mix them and Cocker Poodles, and it's just whatever. And it's a registered breed, you know.
Yeah.
They're really mutts, but they register them and,
yeah.
you know, make it a whole new thing.
It happens with apples, too, all the time.
Yep. But apples are one of the most amazing fruits on the planet.
And you get a lot out of them.
Especially in these mountains. We get a lot of, apple trees, one of our biggest assets. But see, last month when we had the show, Ryan was talking about, before the show, going to plant hazelnut. And I said, why don't we talk about it next month? Because I think I'm going to put hazelnut in.
Why not? Here's a tree that grows from Maine to Saskatchewan. This is the American hazelnut. South to Georgia, Arkansas, and Oklahoma. You need two of them, though. Male and female flowers are on the same plant, but they flower at different times.
Right.
So you'll need two of them. The male flower is a catkin, and then it's wind disseminated to the female flower.
And then you said that last month also that 4 years... you start harvesting nuts off them?
Yeah, which for other nuts is incredible.
It right? is.
I mean, for walnut, it's like, Jesus, 20 years sometimes.
Yeah.
Sometimes 15, if you're lucky.
Yeah, I think we have one on the hill by the Earth Center that about 15 years.
Black walnut is really fast growing, so that's probably one of the earlier ones. But hickory or shagbark hickory, oh my God, take forever.
Yeah.
Oak for wildlife.
I've seen people plant oak as soon as they buy their property for wildlife, and 10, 15, 20 years later, that tree's not that big.
Yeah.
And they might not ever see it.
They're slow growing at first.
Well, the loggers and the hunters are watching the mountains now. Well, every year at this time of year, because you can distinctively tell where oaks are.
Yeah.
Because they turn the most golden, beautiful brown this year, amber. And, I mean, they're just lighting up. It's almost like they're, other years, I notice they turn more red. But this year, they're.
Been great.
It's been awesome.
I was hunting on.
I think it was the best foliage that we had in any tree this year. Yeah. Were the oaks, and they're still out there, and you see mountain ranges of them, and the hunters are looking up there, and go, I'm heading up to that ridge.
They're underrated for their fall foliage oak. I was hunting on a southeastern facing slope in Grahamsville, and just the way the sun came from my side in the west going down. And just lighting up the oaks at night, in the evening. It's just awesome.
They're almost like fluorescent this year. They're amazing. They're beautiful.
Yeah.
And But I didn't see much red in them this year, which is kind of unusual. They usually turn like this dark purple, reddish kind of color, a lot of them.
Yeah, my white oak turns beautiful burgundy every year. It's really awesome.
Yeah. Well, I usually see more of that in the oaks and this time of year, but this year they're extremely brilliant. And our maples got hit, and the oaks said, "Well, we'll pick up slack from the maples this year."
Yeah, maples were not good this year, I didn't think.
No, right?
Not really for the most part.
Well, a lot of them, not all of them. I would say 60% of them, the leaves dropped before they turned any color.
Mm-hmm.
But the ones that did turn, the red maples did better than the sugar maples this year.
Sugar maples had that anthracnose, leaf disease in the summer.
Yep.
Didn't help.
A lot of them took them down. A lot of them before the first, we didn't have a frost for a long time, but before even the threat of any kind of a frost, the leaves, I had hard, sugar maples on my hill by the house, and I think the... that was about the second week in September. They were bare. Leaves dropped right off them.
No kidding.
And that's when I started noticing. And, my neighbor asked me, said, "Oh, God, are your trees dead?" And I said, "I don't think they are. They just, they got some kind of a leaf disease." Because I looked at the leaves, and they just looked like something was going on with them. But
yeah.
I didn't know what.
So hazelnut, the American kind, not the European, is very cold hardy. It can be used to form thickets. So this thing, what it'll do is it'll start to send up suckers from the roots, and that's how it'll regenerate itself. So if you're starting an orchard or something and you buy one, it can send up a sucker. You can take that sucker off and then put it in the proper spacing and then start your row of trees that way.
So how do you root them?
You cut them off. I guess they might form roots. That's what they're saying on Cornell.
So you just put them in the dirt, or you got to put them in water?
No, put them in the dirt. I did it with a sycamore.
Really?
And it worked. That's the one in my front yard. I mean, it's doing great. Yeah, it's doing very well. I thought it would be dead.
And
but
you
it didn't.
Cut a sucker and stuck it in the ground? Or
it was. Room? It was growing. I mean, it must have had a root or two on it. Mm-hmm. Usually they'll have something on it.
Yeah.
Because they do form little roots, even the suckers.
Right down by where the ground meets the stem, because you see those little hairs that are kind of extended.
Fruit production, like we said before, about 4 years, but 10 to 15 pounds is what a mature hazelnut can produce. So
a mature is what, 20 years, 10 years?
Earlier than that. 4 years heavy at 6 or 7.
All right.
Yeah. So native hybrid hazelnut provide a crop that is consistently in short supply. So this, what we mean by that is, this is high demand. So not in the U.S., but Europeans eat a lot of hazelnuts, supposedly.
Mm-hmm.
I think they eat 8 times more or something? Hazelnuts? I don't know what's going on over there. We don't eat hazelnuts as much. Anyway, they're running out of hazelnuts, and they can't produce enough. So you're getting high prices for hazelnuts.
Right, yeah.
For example, I have this written down somewhere. Comparing it to corn. It's pretty significant. Okay, so 6-year harvest weight, right? Assuming 2,000 pounds per acre, or assuming that you made 2,000 pounds per acre, equals about $5,000 per acre, right? Corn is about $640 an acre.
Wow.
So $5,000 an acre. So the retail is about $6 a pound in the shell, and when it's shelled, wholesale, it's about $15 a pound. So your biggest cost, obviously, is probably going to be labor.
Yeah.
You know, that's true of probably most agricultural things. But, again, $5,000 an acre, and compared to corn, $640 an acre.
Is that European and American hazelnut?
This is the hybrid.
The hybrid.
Yeah. So there's hybrids that I haven't really talked about yet, but yeah. So Cornell is really pushing it for small farms to get into hazelnut. Pretty interesting, huh?
It is.
Training. It can be shaped as a bush or a single stem. I called a nursery out in the Midwest, and they seem to favor a single stem because it gets it off the ground, they're thinking.
Okay.
Maybe better for diseases and stuff like that. No, no, this is all inside a fence. You got to fence this stuff. Deer, everything, foals, they're gonna wreak havoc on this. Bush can be 8 to 12 feet, 16 feet if it's grown as a single stem. So the, as I said before, the European hazelnut is grown mostly in the West Coast, originally to keep distance from the eastern filbert blight, but also because it's less cold hardy. Zone 7 or 8 is what the European hazelnuts seem to prefer. But now the blight is over there, so everyone is kind of screwed, right? So now it's like, what do you do? So the Northern Nut Growers Association and the Society of Ontario Nut Growers Association, since 1921, have been hybridizing the American, which is more resistant to the blight, and the European. And I guess they have one now. There's only like 3 nurseries that carry this hybrid, though.
Yeah?
Yeah.
So you gotta ship them in?
Most of them are in Canada. The 2 that I found, maybe even 3, are in Canada. Yeah, they don't care. They'll ship them here. They said that you can buy one plant. Grimo's Nursery is who I called. And they say, one plant. You want to buy one plant, we'll sell it. We'll ship it to you.
Wow. Well, that's a good deal.
And that's from Europe?
Grimo's. No, that's I think it's Ontario.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Yeah.
How many are you going to plant?
Nah, I'm planting like 1 to 3, man.
Yeah.
Yeah. I misspoke. In the last show, they said it tolerates clay. I asked them, and they're like, no. So do not plant it in clay. You should plant it where apple trees really do well, they said. Apple trees do well, which sugar maple, you know, that does well. It's probably hazelnut will do well as well.
Good to know.
If you're just tuning in, you're listening to From the Forest, and tonight's topic is American Hazelnut with Gary Mead.
The old hometown looks the same as I step down from the train. There to meet me is my mama and papa. Down the lane I look, and there runs Mary, hair of gold and lips like cherry. Good to touch the green, green grass of home. The old house is still standing, though the paint is cracked and dry. There's the old oak tree that I used to play on. Down the lane I walk with my sweet Mary, hair of gold and lips.
cherry. It's so good to touch the green, green grass of home. Yes, they'll all come to meet me, arms outreached, smiling sweetly. It's so good to touch the green, green grass of home. Then I awake and I look around me at the four gray walls that surround me, and I realize that I was only dreaming. For there's the guard and there's the sad old padre, and arm in arm we'll walk at daybreak, when again I'll touch the green, green grass of home.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly, but then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Yes, they'll all come to see me in the shade of that old. The green, green grass of home.
All right. That's Merle Haggard. Tonight's topic is American Hazelnut with Gary Mead. This is From the Forest every third Wednesday. We speak to Gary and talk about a different Catskills tree on From the Forest. So American Hazelnut, you know, it's kind of a new tree slash shrub to all three of us, I think, right?
Yep. Yeah, I have no experience with it.
Definitely me. I didn't think we could grow them in this neck of the woods, but.
And we were just talking about how it'd be nice to have a nut that produces in less than 8 years, you know? Because everything else takes 15 to 35, 40 years to produce a nut.
Yeah.
So.
And, but. You know, on your own property too. You don't have to get permission to harvest them, but you know, I harvest apples and walnuts and stuff off of people's property, different stuff through the year. But I never go on anybody's property without getting permission.
Walnuts are a pain, right? That's what you're saying off the air.
To get open.
And, yeah.
You know, I harvest walnuts and I want to get walnut trees growing. As many as I can in the Catskills, because in the last 20 years, Arkville must have 1,000 walnut trees now in Arkville. They're all over the place.
Thanks to Gary. So if you have one, call Gary.
Yeah, no, right.
No, I have. Actually, it was a guy on Pavilion Road about 20 years ago. Maybe it was longer, 20, 25. You know, he planted walnut trees on his lawn, and now there's... I mean, all Arkville's full of them. The squirrels plant them.
Pavilion Road is right in the middle of the valley, and that's if you ever have a chance, go there. That there's a pavilion that Arkville has. Anyone can go there. The valley is so big when you stand on Pavilion Road at the pavilion. I mean, it's so wide. And what people don't realize is the USDA. I remember I was talking to a guy who was doing a tree planting project for a landowner in Margaretville. Said that the soil there is class one, supposedly, apparently, the best soil you can get. It is deep. When we dig our holes for the game of logging at the Forest Festival, the auger's, 6 feet deep?
Yes, something like that, about.
And we're still
hardly any rocks. It's all topsoil.
Topsoil, yeah.
If any rocks.
Well, that's
there's a little
river
old fill you pull up. You can see
it. Yeah.
But that's just from somebody's old project. And,
so what I'm getting at is, it's perfect for black walnut. That's what black walnut likes, is those alluvial or water, where water lays down soil over thousands of years. That's what it loves. I mean, that is the stuff for black walnut.
Yeah, I have a 2/3 of an acre in Arkville, and I, you know, 10, 12 years ago, I was at a soccer game, and I harvested a bunch of walnuts, put them on the porch. The squirrels ran off with them, and you know, I have about 15 walnut trees on my property now.
Well, you said you were at the school in Ellenville, right?
Yeah.
Again, that's the same setup. That's the Rondout Valley or the Sandberg Creek where it meets the Rondout later on. But that's just, again, alluvial soil. It's just perfect site. You know where the place I've seen where the most walnuts I've ever seen on the side of the road is on 209 going through the Delaware Water Gap, which is following the Delaware.
Yeah.
I mean, deep soils, just stands and stands of black walnut. Some people think that has something to do with maybe Native Americans in the past because they probably lived in the valley. But the soil's also really conducive.
Yeah.
It's just excellent.
Well, when I put my leach field in up in New Kingston, I have 18 inches of topsoil up there, which is, I mean, that's higher up than down a Pavilion Road a little bit. But, you know, we have good topsoil here. What I learned about that also is every year we get a 16th of an inch of topsoil from the leaves of our trees. So every 16 years we get about another inch of soil, which people don't realize. So over time, you know, it really builds up. And I think that the hazelnuts would appreciate that, especially when they first start, because I'm not sure of their root system or how deep they go. But
must have a tap root, right?
Probably. I don't really know. I would assume
most
so.
Most of the nuts do.
Yeah, but I'm not sure. But here's a tree on the economics Cornell was talking about. We already talked about the per acre value and retail, wholesale, the nuts. But also the reason why some people might want to get into this is that Nutella, which is a company that sells butters and stuff and all that, right?
Yep.
They consume, I didn't know this, 25% of the world's nut crop. It's insane. Whoa. But they're located in Ontario, which, as many of you might know, is our border in New York State.
Yeah.
So it's a massive factory just over the New York border in Canada, Nutella. And that's why there's a Society of Ontario Nut Growers and stuff. They're kind of like looking at this as a potential market. So it could be something for New York. And hazelnuts are continuously in short supply. And the Europeans, yeah, they do. They ate 8 more times hazelnuts than Americans. Why don't we eat hazelnuts?
Well, we don't have access to them.
Yeah, where are these hazelnuts? The only time I ever come across a hazelnut is when I get them in mixed form at the gas station, you know, in those little packets.
Yeah. The only time I ever had them was at Christmas every year.
Yeah, me too.
I guess the Europeans let us have some hazelnuts.
Now, give them hazelnuts.
It's Christmas.
Well, you could get the big bags come with walnuts, hazelnuts, there are 10 different nuts in shells. Well,
we would
in
have
bag.
Those only during Christmas, too, with little metal nutcrackers that if you didn't put just right.
Yeah.
Smash your fingers.
But once in a while, you could find us maybe a 1 pound or an 8 ounce bag of just hazelnuts. And but they're sweet and they're really, really good. But, you know, the hybrids, I guess, aren't quite as tasty as the European.
Well, I don't know about that. Apparently, they're saying,
we'll have to see.
Yeah. Right, because they're just trying to get, you know, the disease resistance of the American, cold hardiness of the American with the taste of the European.
Yeah. And, you know, once you put them up, you got to protect them and,
voles, deer.
Voles are, I mean, how do you keep voles from getting them? To the roots? You got to put
you got to wrap the stems.
Half-inch metal hardware that you get at the hardware store.
Yeah.
And just wrap it around a cylinder around the trunk and just press it into the soil before it freezes.
Mm-hmm.
That will do most of it.
How big of a diameter around the room?
Just three times.
You buy a 2 foot tall roll, however long you need, 25 feet, and then cut them in 12 inch strips. And now you can fold them in a 3 inch circle.
Yeah. Take a half inch roll or a half inch diameter. Half inch. The squares. They're half inch, right?
Quarter inch, I usually buy, but
I don't like the quarter. Yeah, I like the half inch more, just because it's more sturdier.
Oh, they're a little thicker gauge.
It is, yeah, it's thicker gauge, and I do 24 by 36 squares, and then press them in the ground. Yeah, it's fine. It works.
Yeah, one time I caught a vole in a mouse trap in my house.
Oh yeah.
I wonder what the heck he was doing in there, but only once in my entire life. And, you know, I was late at night watching, just sitting up, and I could hear the... I only have mice come in the fall in my house, and I usually have one or two pesky ones that, whatever. But, you know, I heard the trap snap, and I went in the drawer, and... What the hell are you doing in here? It was a vole. I just didn't get that part. But they like peanut butter.
Speaking of rodents, the red squirrels are really annoying this year to me.
Oh? Yeah.
While hunting, man.
Uh-huh.
Such a small animal can make so much noise. You know? I mean, after a while, you know it's not a deer, but it's just like, sometimes you're just like, I have to investigate that noise, though. You know, just to make sure it's not a deer. Because the one time you don't look, there's a deer looking up at you like.
Yeah.
There he is.
What are you doing? Man, are they noisy. Yeah. And they're jerks.
And then once
they constantly harass the gray squirrels. The gray squirrels mind his own business most of the time.
Yeah. Well, they beat the crap out of gray squirrels. Yeah. They just go after them.
It's their problem.
They're half the size, and they're just... They're like a small dog. They just have to be mean just because they're so small, I guess. But
somebody's got to get the memo of these gray squirrels and just whack them or something.
You would think, but I've always seen gray squirrels. I mean, they take over. They kick gray squirrels out of their den, and the gray squirrels go, oh, I guess I got to go find somewhere else to live.
Yeah, I don't know, man.
They don't put up a fight. They're very docile.
Yeah, they are.
They're really they're cool animals. But gray squirrels, if red squirrels will move in your house. But now, once you plant this hazelnut, squirrels can climb the tree and rob your nuts.
They could.
So, but anyway, around your house, not so much.
Yeah.
Because
they don't like to go out in open fields. So you're going to want to give this tree open sunlight. You're going to have less hawks. I mean, I watch them in the orchard, and squirrels will venture out into my orchard, but they're not happy about it.
Yeah.
They're like, what's around? Is there a hawk watching me? Am I about to become bait, you know?
Same thing with deer. They don't like to, you know, they'll be out in open space, but they like it in the brush, and they like to be kind of hidden when they're feeding. So, you know, when you have stuff that's out right in the wide open, I mean, they might come in at night and munch on it, but during the day, very unlikely they're going to be coming around and just doing any damage at that point. But
if you're just tuning in, you're listening to From the Forest. Tonight's topic is American Hazelnut with Gary Mead, and we'll talk some more about hazelnuts next.
Lonely and you come here to home. half a million people. Somewhere there's a church and a big tall steeple. Inside the church there's an altar filled with flowers. Wedding bells are ringing and it should have been ours. That's why I'm so lonely. Our dreams gone above. High on a mountain of love. High on a mountain of love. High on a mountain of love.
All right, if you're just tuning in, you're listening to From the Forest every Wednesday, 6 to 7 p.m. Talk about a different forest-related topic. Every third Wednesday, we talk about a different Catskills tree with Gary Mead, and tonight's topic is the American hazelnut. So what's good about the hazelnut, too, is you don't need bees, all right? So you don't have to talk about the importance of bees or the decline in bees because it's wind-pollinated. So, all right?
But, so when the bees are gone, we're still going to have hazelnut.
That's right.
All right.
Yeah.
Yep.
Something to look forward to.
Yeah, you just need two pollen-compatible strains of hybrid trees, all right? So if you're setting up an orchard, you got to protect from the deer and voles. First 2 years is the most critical. You want to plant them in a well-drained area. And as I said before, you can propagate them through layering, which is when little seedlings, or not seedlings, clones or suckers come up from the roots, and then you can take those off and put them in the proper spacing, maybe, I don't know, 8-10 feet, and go from there.
Just start another one. You just poke them in the ground.
Apparently. I don't know. I've never tried it before, so who knows.
Well, if you notice on suckers, we were talking about that before, that when they come up off the, there's these little fine hairs that are at the base where it comes off, you know, the sucker first starts from, it actually grows off a part of the root of the tree. One that's kind of closer to the top of the earth ground, and you know those little hairs I think are actually roots.
Yeah.
Cut them down real low to the ground, and but you don't want to cut them on a, I wouldn't think on a real hot, dry day. The best time to do that would be when it's a light rain or it's you know early morning fog or something like that. Because sun damages roots. You know, when I work in the garden, I do my transplant, and I always do it in the rain or, you know, early in the morning before the sun comes out because, you know, as soon as the sun hits the root, I mean, it does damage really quick.
I'm getting dried out, that's for sure.
Yeah.
That's no good.
And, you know, the UV rays are actually as damaging as being dried out, so...
So if you're gonna buy hazelnuts, apparently there's only a few nurseries that has the hybrids, all right? And they offer either layered and seedling trees. Layered, if you're doing an orchard, is the only way to go because that's how you know you're gonna get the same nut throughout. But there's Z's Nutty Ridge, who I did not call, Oiko's Tree Crops, and I did call Grimo, and they were great on the phone, very personable. Talk to a person right away.
Where are they at?
I think they're in Ontario.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Yeah, they also have white mulberry, which I want. I know some people don't like white mulberry, but I think it's a great tree. Like the actual white-colored white mulberry. So that's what I'm going to get as well.
The berries are white.
Yeah. There's one in the gas station in Kingston I've talked about before on the radio show. And right behind this gas station, and it tastes like honey, man. Honey flavored mulberries, yep. Phenomenal.
Yeah, I'm putting mulberries up on my property. Mitch has a big mulberry tree on his lawn. I went there for a barbecue. And we didn't real, you know, when it, I didn't know mulberry. I mean, we talked about it on the radio, but you know, when on this side of the hill, I've never seen many. And you know, in Kingston, that walking down the street in the fall of every year, late summer, there was always these. You know, it's just red on the ground with these things. You didn't dare to eat them, but now I found out they're good. I must have picked, I don't know. We're there for the barbecue, and I'm over collecting mulberries off the ground.
Ah, man, they're great.
And they're awesome. So I told Mitch, I said, the tree's loaded. It's a mulberry tree. Oh, that's what that is. I said, you should put a tarp down.
He should be planting them where he lives in Gardner. Are you kidding me?
Well, he has a huge one on the lawn. He wouldn't even have to plant them. He could get... I mean, there was a half a bushel of these mulberries on this one tree, maybe a bushel. I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, if you like birds, Planting mulberry is the best.
Holy cow.
The birds go nuts.
Yeah.
They get aggressive over them.
Yeah. They're crazy.
But they were, I mean, you know, anything you can you get and it's edible, it's pretty amazing. But the white mulberries are sweeter, I guess, than the red ones.
I don't know if they're sweet. I mean, there's all different varieties. I have an Illinois red mulberry, which is sold pretty frequently. The white mulberry are from Asia. The red are not. They're from North America. So some people, they just don't want to plant the white mulberry. I got nothing against white mulberry. It's hardier. It seems to want to grow in a crack of asphalt. And if it can grow there and produce edible fruit, I say, so be it. Yeah. Anyway, they hybridize anyway. So it gets even more confusing with the reds. And that's why you can have a red-colored white mulberry. Mm. It's very confusing. But then there's they're rare, but you'll find these white-colored white mulberries, and they're awesome. And people think they're not ripe, but they are. I've seen one in Rhinebeck. Mm-hmm. I've seen one near the hospital. Every time we had a kid, which happened four times, I'd take a walk around, find that white mulberry.
Yeah.
And that one in Kingston is awesome.
Well, you'd be amazed what you learn just by paying attention, because, you know, I have people come to the gallery all the time, and, you know, I'll show them sycamore, and I'll show them this tree and that tree, and they'll say, oh, they don't grow around here. I said, where'd you come from? And they said, well, we're coming down 28 from Pine Hill or whatever. And I said, well, when you got to Freshtown, but before you got here, you drove by about 35, 40 sycamores. So you're just not paying attention.
Yeah, and there's a lot in Phoenicia all along 28. Boyceville.
Yeah.
The whole floodplain. If you're in a floodplain, you probably have sycamore. If you have a sycamore near your house, you're probably in a floodplain. You might want to watch out for that, too. But, you know.
Well, I've seen
it floods there.
Well, wherever there's water, don't have to be a flood. The mountain above the mill, I was two-thirds to the top one time, and I saw one of them sticky balls on the ground. I said, I thought the wind blew it up the mountain. So I'm investigating and, you know, weaving back and forth, and you know, I found a big sycamore, you know, up above the mill, and it was by a spring run, though.
They'll grow in quarries, too.
Yeah. You know? I mean, it's a rocky mountain, and it was just, it was amazing. I found one that high up on the mountain.
They don't seem to like too, actually, ironically, poorly drained soil. Floodplain, it drains afterwards.
Right.
It really doesn't stay wet like a swamp.
Right. Sandy and loamy, you know? Yeah. The Schoharie Valley's got 100,000 sycamores over there.
Perfect site for most.
And after that, Irene went through, that's all that sprouted in that whole, on each side of the rivers. I mean, there's thousands and thousands of brand new, you know, they're only 4 or 5 foot tall, 6 foot tall now, but
yeah,
it's all sycamore.
Well, that's how it gets a competitive advantage, sycamore. It can grow faster than its neighbors,
yep,
meaning other trees. And since it can sprout from roots and stuff, that the flood actually kind of disperses it, you know.
It has a good root system, too, because very few were, you know, in a flood, get tipped over from the water.
Yeah.
Other trees, maples and cherries are closer to the river, they'll take them right out, but sycamores, they don't. And especially the smaller ones, they just bend down water, you know, flow with the water, and they're crooked for a couple of years, but they get straightened back up.
I like the tree. I shot one of the biggest bucks I ever got from a sycamore tree.
Really?
Yeah. And just a nice tree to climb. Some trees are nicer to climb than others, you know.
Oh, I know. I've climbed trees. I don't use deer stand. I climb the tree and, you know, find a comfortable crotch and just lay there.
But you know what the nicest and quietest bark to climb a portable tree stand on?
What?
A black gum.
Ah.
Well, since when have you ever climbed a black gum, right?
I don't get black gum.
It was in the middle of the night. I just looked at the tree briefly. I'm climbing up it in the middle of the night in the morning. I'm like, this is a different tree. There's just not many black gums around.
Mm-hmm.
It was so quiet and comfortable. I was like, what is this tree? I'm looking up. I'm like, this is a damn black gum. So, I mean, they're rare, but that thing is quiet. Hickories are nice, but they're slippery.
Fell in love with bitternut hickory.
They're excellent.
You can get so high. They don't have limbs for the longest time.
Do I have time to read one?
Yeah, read a quick
one. We've got about 1 minute.
Oh, I can do this in a minute and a half. This is called The Balance. I wrote this in 11/2/98. Where was the moon last night? I went out to see it, and it was nowhere in sight. I guess a new moon was rising. The balance of nature has no compromising. What man wants now and tries to change, to mess with nature will cause things to derange. All of the good and bad in man seems to be in the palm of nature's hands. The balance lately seems to be tipping. We find ourselves constantly tripping. We can't ignore the balance anymore, because if we do, we'll perish for sure. There is only so much imbalance nature can take before storms of all sorts make the earth start to shake. If we don't wake up and do it soon, the earth will perish into total gloom. And nature has put up with a lot from us, but now she seems to have lost our trust. Why does money have to rule everything? Can't we see all the pain that it brings? Sent by the devil, and that's for sure. Take it away, and we've found the cure. That is what really frightens me, ruled by money to the point we don't see. When I think about this, I shed some tears. I'm really concerned. We don't have many more years. Life just can't go on this way. We add to pollution every day. Raging floods and hurricanes just tells us nature is feeling much pain. I want Mother Nature to start feeling better. It's going to take more than a real kind letter. And action speaks louder than words, we know. Let's put our heads together and help her again start to grow.
All right, that's all the time we have on From the Forest. Thank you for listening, and see you next week.
Peace and happy Thanksgiving.
Good night.
For his castle was a hallway, and the bottle was his friend. And the old man stumbled in from the forest. Up a dark and dingy staircase, the old man made his way. His ragged coat around him as upon his cot he lay. And he wondered how it happened that he'd ended up this way. Getting lost like a fool in the forest. And as he lay there sleeping, vision did appear. Upon his mantle shining the face of one so dear, who'd loved him in the springtime of a long forgotten year, when the wildflowers did bloom in the forest. She touched his grizzled fingers and she called him by his name. And then he heard the joyful sound of children at their games, in an old house on a hillside in some forgotten town, where the river runs down from the forest. With a mighty roar, big jet soars above the canyon streets, and the con men con, but life goes on, for the city never sleeps. And to an old forgotten soldier, the dawn will come.